إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم ومن والاه بعد. My brother and sister, we are talking about how can we develop Iman Bilghaib. In the last 2 days, I have been talking to you about looking at the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, different things in the natural world and so on, with which we can look at and we can reflect on, and this helps us to derive and understand the issue of Iman Bilghaib. There are many, many, many more of those. I won't go into them one by one. I think the task is on us, each of us, to think about it and say what in the natural world is such that it reminds us of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every single thing does. One of the downsides or outcomes of learning is that we seem to lose the sense of wonder that comes in a way that comes with ignorance. So ignorance is a good thing in a particular way. Let me explain. For example, little children, you show them something which is mundane to you, it's not particularly exciting, but you show it to a little child and that child gets extremely excited. Says, wow, fantastic, how did this happen? And you might say, well, you know, this is a crystallization process. For example, if you can actually do this experiment of making crystals, and it's an absolutely fascinating thing. But people like us who know what it is, we know some chemistry, we have lost that sense of wonder, right? So we've got this, we developed this sort of jaded attitude towards life, been there, done that. And that's it's a punishment really, because it's a punishment of not making shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But children don't have that. They don't have this so-called knowledge of ours, so they get so much more excitement and joy and pleasure out of that. And that is what we need to develop. Never lose that child in you. The child in you is very important. This should be with us throughout. And one of the ways of doing that is to spend time with small children. Then you rekindle that thing in yourself if it is dead. Now, in that context, so that's what I'm saying, as far as the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is concerned, all kinds of things are there in the natural world. Whether it is living things, whether it is, like I mentioned, crystals, for example. One of the things about living things is that living things grow. Crystals are not living, but they grow. So it's a, you know, different kind of way of looking at things. The other thing is to reflect also on what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us personally with, and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. This is also one of the ways of developing Iman Bilghaib. Take, for example, one of the things which I find endlessly fascinating is language. Have you thought about language? What is language? Language is the art of making a sound to represent a thing. Now, this is my definition of language. When you eat, what do you eat from? What do you put your food on? Plate. Urdu mein kya bolte? Rikabi. Cheez kya hai? Wohi chai. Has it changed because you call it a rikabi? This is the beauty of language. And you take this and apply it across the world to anything. Language is the art of representing something, an actual thing, physical article, with a sound. What is plate? It's a sound. Pala, a, t, no? Plate. Hamare Hyderabad mein rehte ho, plate bolte. Magar plate bolna wala samajhta, plate bolte to kya hai? That is the other beauty. where we have an enormous tolerance system, if you want to call it, in the brain, which allows you to take sounds which are not exactly the same, but to relate them and make sense and say, yeah, this is what it, even though he is pronouncing it like this, this is how we understand other accents. How do you understand other accents? Because your brain is doing that magic insight and saying that even though this guy, like if you listen to some of the difficult accents, if you take an Australian accent, for example, it's very difficult to understand unless you have heard Australians. Not easy to understand. Many American accents, I'm saying local ones, New York is not so bad, but if you go to the South, if you go to California, for example, if you go to Texas, there's this long drawl with things, which is not easy to understand unless you familiarize yourself with that. One of the things that Indians have, thanks to our upbringing in a culture which is multilingual, most Indians will speak three languages default, without even registering that. Most of us have three languages, we speak almost everybody. Some will speak more. So therefore, one benefit is that our brains are used to processing sounds and understanding things which are not exactly the same. But I have worked with people who, unless you pronounce that word exactly how they pronounce it, they really cannot understand you. They do not know what you have said. Now, you might say, what's the big crime? You know, okay, I'm coming from some place, I have that accent. It's not a question of, his brain does not process that information. So, it comes up blank. He does not know what you have said. But we have that advantage because of our multilingual upbringings. So, we understand many kinds of words. So, language. Now, imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the languages in the Quran. And Allah said, this is one of his signs, these languages. Now, imagine, why are there, in India, for example, we've got over 1600 different dialects. We have, I think, probably maybe close to 20 major languages with literature, with poetry, with, you know, all kinds of things in it. And dialects, we have got 1700 dialects. Why? This shows the amazing variety that Allah has given the human being. And at the end of the day, every single dialect, every single language is doing only one thing, which is, it is making a sound to represent something. Now, we go a step further, which is very peculiar to human beings, which is that our languages also allow us to represent things which have no material existence. For example, to represent imagination. For example, to represent concepts, to represent abstract thought. What is abstract thought? I said abstract, no? You understood abstract? What is it? Show me abstract. But we understood, right? There's no problem. When I say abstract, I say imagination. You understand imagination, right? Show it to me here. Those of you who have watched Star Trek, for example, you know, science fiction things. What is Star Trek? Star Trek is the imagination at work. Here is this space craft which is going to some other planet, and what are you likely to encounter there, and so on and so on. One of the things that I have always maintained as far as abstract thought is concerned is that it's not abstract enough. Our imagination is not imaginary enough. For example, if you say Martians, end of the day, what have we come up with? We come up with a humanoid which is green and which has two antenna. I mean, dumb is that? I mean, you know, can't you think of something a bit more original than that? That's where the imagination limits. We can only imagine, if you think about that, we can only imagine that which is already in our experience in some way or the other. To imagine something which you have never experienced is actually not possible. So imagine, imagination is a factor of experience. It's taking experience and it's doing things with it. Now, is it important or is it a waste of time? Unfortunately, our classical Islamic education has no place for imagination, which is a very, very major loss. I'm talking about education today. There was plenty of space for imagination in our classic education in the past. That's how we invented all these things. I mean, all the inventions that Muslims made was because of imagination, not because of the lack of it. But today it's like dead completely. It's not there. There's no place in it. You look at any curriculum, it does not exist. But one of the biggest benefits of imagination is what in business strategy we call scenario planning. One of the things I sometimes, when I'm doing work with my business clients, I tell them, sit down and imagine in the next 3 months and in the next 6 months, what can kill your business? Serious exercise. Sit down and decide in the next 6 months, what can completely destroy your business? And to give you an example, if you think, oh, you know, why should I do that? What killed Kodak? What killed your plastic film? Did anyone imagine, I mean, when we were in school and so on, did we ever imagine that there is something called digital photography there? The big irony is that digital photography was actually invented by a guy who worked for Kodak. He took it to the company. He said, why don't we do this? They said, no, it won't work. Forget about it. You heard about Motorola pagers? What happened to pagers? How long did pagers last in the market? Like a blink. It came and went. Nobody even registered because phones came. SMS came. It killed the pager business. Digital photography killed the photo. I mean, I still remember. We used to, 24 exposures or 36 exposures. This is what we used to get. And we had to be so careful. One exposure is gone. Khalas, now you've got only 35. And then you take it and you don't know what you picture you took. You take it to the shop. You get it developed. You get it printed. Only then you realize, oh my God, I should. Today, on any trip I go, and he will laugh at that, but at least any trip I go, I take maybe 5,000 photographs, 4,000 photographs. Then I bring it to hard-hearted people like this and my friend Ifam Raji. And at the end of 5,000 photographs, he will give me 3. He says, these 3 are okay. But alhamdulillah, the point is, of course, that's a focus on excellence. That's why I'm very thankful. Kill as much as possible, then I know how to do something properly. But the point is, thanks to digital photography, you can take 5,000 photographs. How much did it cost me? 0. But that thing killed something else. So, scenario planning, we say, what can kill you in 3 months, in 6 months? What can destroy your business? That is imagination at work. Why is that important? Because it helps us to develop systems of protecting yourself. And the best way of protecting yourself is to develop, not to build walls. Nobody ever protected themselves by building walls. You protect yourself by developing yourself. All of these, this is what Allah has given us. You say, alhamdulillah, Allah gave me a brain which can think like this. Allah gave me the ability to think, the ability to imagine, the ability to conceptualize, the ability to do scenario planning, the ability to help myself, to help other people. All of this, each one of us has. It's not some personal gift to me. Alhamdulillah, it's a gift to me. It's a gift to you also. It's a gift to every single human being with a working brain. If you don't want to use the working brain, if you just want to use the brain to grow hair, that's a different issue. The head is not a pot full of manure to grow hair. So therefore, but if you use it, then you find, and how do you get iman bil ghaib? By reflecting on this and saying, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created me like this and did this with me. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to reflect and to think And to enable this to for our Iman bil Ghaib to develop, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this, because this is the fundamental foundation of Islam. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.